Good morning. How you doing? It's awesome. How you doing? All right. Well, whew. I got my work cut out for me, I guess. I am so glad you're here. We've been talking about the Beatitudes, and Beatitudes come from this word in the Latin that means blessed. And so we're talking about the blesseds. And so if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 5, that's where we're going to be today. We'll be in verse 6. We've talked about several before. We talked about being poor in spirit and what that means. We've talked about those who are, once you are poor in spirit, hopefully you mourn over the sin that is in your life. And so we've talked about that. And then we talked about gentleness last week and what that looks like and how we are gentle and how that should mean that we are not sissies or we're not lazy, but it means that we don't think too highly of ourselves, that basically we're humble and we think much of others and we think of ourselves less. And so today we're going to be talking about what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so in verse 6, it talks about those who hunger and thirst after righteousness are blessed because they will be filled, or for they will be filled. And so we want to talk about that this morning. We've talked about oxymorons and the fact that the blesseds or the Beatitudes are basically oxymoronic. They're two statements that when you put them together, they seem really weird, that they don't go together. And I've given you some examples of oxymorons that we have in our culture. And so let me give you a few more just to have a little fun with. What about this? Old news. That's old news. Well, is it old or is it new? A hot chili. Hot chili. It's either hot or you chili. And so those two don't seem to go together either. What about criminal justice? Criminal justice. Don't make it go to that. Just leave it on the thing. Criminal justice, or you're either criminal or there's justice, but criminal justice is actually a major. Today we're going to talk about this idea, though, of hunger and thirsting after righteousness, and what does that mean in our lives and for us as the people of God. So what we want to do today is that we want to pursue after God. That is our goal. That is what we want to do. As the people of God, we want to pursue God. And so we are called to be hungry, and we are called to thirst after righteousness. And so I want to give you these four ideas. The first one is already on the screen. It is a call to hunger and to thirst. Humanity has lots of problems. You think about all the different things going on in our world, and we think about all the chaos and the war and just the craziness. I mean, we are still as a country, we are a week away from a major hurricane that just hung out over Houston and that area and just dumped lots and lots and lots of water. And we think about what is all this problems coming from? Where does all this come from? And the trouble with humanity is not one particular manifestation of a sin. It's not that we're greedy only. It's not that humanity kills people only. It's not that humanity lusts only. It's not just one particular sin, but it is the problem of sin itself. Sin is an all-encompassing idea. Sin is when we are disobedient to God. When God says, I've given you some standards, I've given you some levels of how you should listen to me and how you should obey me, and when we are disobedient to God, we are in sin. And so sin is the problem with humanity, and sin has called everything to be broken. It's caused everything to be broken, not just the way we live our lives, but the earth itself Paul writes in Romans that the earth groans for its redemption. The earth wants to not have all these problems either. All of these crazy, chaotic hurricanes and tornadoes and volcanoes and all of these things. The earth, too, wants to have peace. And if the church would hunger and if the church would thirst after righteousness, then we could help this sin problem that we have. See, the church often, however, pursues what we call spiritual maturity. Or they may pursue happiness in God. Or we may pursue the Spirit's power. We may want to pursue how to be a better witnesser. And so a better person who can share our faith. And so we pursue skills. And all of these things are good. They are not bad in and of themselves. I would argue be someone who pursues after spiritual maturity. Be someone who pursues after skills of how to communicate the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Those are good things, but they are not necessarily righteousness. I can be the best communicator of what the gospel is, yet still be someone who lives a life that is full of sin. And still enjoy sin and be someone who lives a life that revels in sin, yet be someone who can communicate, be a great witness for the gospel in my verbal communication. So these things are not equal. And so God says, pursue righteousness. So what does that mean for us to pursue righteousness? You see, this flows out of the previous ones. The previous one, you know, you are poor in spirit, which means you recognize that you're utterly helpless, that you're utterly unavailable and utterly unable to be someone on the same level as God, and that you recognize the sin in your life and you understand that, man, compared to God, you are in no position to think highly of yourself. And you're poor in spirit. You recognize your need for God, and it leads us to mourning over that sin. And say, it's not just sin in my life, but to really mourn in it, to seek after repentance, which leads us to treat people different and to think about ourselves different and to love people different. And now we need to be people who pursue righteousness. And I hope you've been thinking about these ideas. These are not just sermons or talks that you've heard over the last few weeks, but these are ways for you to really think, if I am a believer, if I am a Christian, if I am someone who says that I love God and pursue God, are these evident in your life? Do you mourn over your sin? Do you recognize your ultimate need for God? Are you someone who would be considered humble and gentle, and do you pursue righteousness? If you want to test your Christianity, test it against a verse like this. Do you pursue righteousness, or do you pursue other things? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness, or do you hunger and thirst after other things? We're not to hunger and thirst after blessedness. We're not to hunger and thirst after happiness. We're not to hunger and thirst after another Bible study. We're not to hunger and thirst after a great sermon. But sadly, we settle for those things without ever hungering, thirsting for righteousness. So you may say, you've said the word a lot, but what is righteousness? What is righteousness? Well, there are a couple of options for the word righteousness in the Bible. Number one is a way that Paul generally uses it, and it has to do with another big word called justification. And justification really means this: I am justified, I am on right standing, I am justified, I am forgiven in the sight of God. And so it talks about having Jesus' righteousness and God giving us righteousness. And so it could mean justification, being right with God, not being considered guilty of our sin. And so Paul writes in Romans, he says, "For we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from works." So how do I get saved, or how am I born again? It is, I am made right through my faith, not by what I do. This is what Paul says in Romans 8:28. So it means being right with God, but it can also mean something else. And I think that that's what it means in this text. I think it goes further than that. It's not only being right with God, which is a fabulous thing, don't get me wrong. But it also means another big word, which means sanctification, which is becoming more and more like Jesus. It is how I begin to act. It is how I, after I am justified, after I am given salvation by my faith alone, then it turns into how I live that out. And we're not saved by what we do, but after we're saved, what we do matters. And we are to become more and more obedient and more and more and more like Jesus. So do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Sanctification really is a desire to be righteous, to be someone who acts, someone who is hungering, and someone who is thirsting after doing what God has called us to do. It's getting rid of sin in all forms of its manifestation in our life. So let me give you four quick ways in which we are we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Number one, it's a desire to be free from sin. You don't want sin in your life. And so when you pursue righteousness and when you hunger and thirst after living right, you don't want sin in your life. Sin separates us from God. And how can I be right with God when I'm separated from God because sin is in my life? And so it's a desire to have sin out of your life, to be free from it. But secondly, it's also the desire to be right with God. I can behave but not be right with God. And so it's much more than being good. It's a desire to be right with God. All the trouble in our world, all the violence, all the hate, all the chaos, all the racism, all the storms, all of it is because we are not right with God. And so it's a desire not just to be someone who doesn't have sin in his life, but it's someone to have that right relationship with God. Sin keeps us from getting to know God. And it keeps us from that knowledge of God in that relationship. The one who hungers and thirsts will see your sin as separating you from God. And so as we hunger and thirst for that, we want to be right with God. The third thing is that it's a desire not only to be free from sin, not only to have a right relationship with God, but it's a desire to be free from the power of sin. We're poor in spirit, we recognize our sin. And if you could do it all on your own, you wouldn't need to be poor in spirit. If you could do it all on your own, you wouldn't need to recognize sin in your life. You want to be free from the power of sin that drags you down in spite of yourself. And lastly, it's also a desire to be free from the desire of sin. Think about that. It's a desire to be free from the desire of sin. If you're totally honest with yourself, you like to sin. You want to sin. And when we hunger and pursue righteousness, it is a desire not to want to sin. We know it's wrong, but we still want it anyway. There are things in your life that you know is wrong, that you know is sin, that you know separates you from God, yet we pursue it anyway. Because sin separates us from God, we want to have a desire for that not to happen, but we also want a desire to not even want to do those things. In other words, we want to be positively holy. Think about that, positively holy. Write that down, underline it. Think about that this week. How can I be positively holy when I pursue God, when I search for His righteousness, when I hunger and I thirst from these things? What is righteousness? It is a desire to live out that relationship that God offers us. In the end, it's someone who looks like Jesus and wanting to look like Jesus and wanting to do the things Jesus did and to live the life that Jesus lived, to love your enemies even though they hate you and hurt you, to love your friends even though they betray you, to love people even though they may hurt you. It is positive obedience. Jesus said, I came to do the will of the Father, and I'm going to do that. Is that something that you would say in your life as well? So we've talked about righteousness, but what does it mean to hunger and to thirst for this righteousness? What does it mean? It doesn't mean we attain it. Sadly, it's you never get to that point and say, okay, I'm righteous. Maybe you're righteous when it comes to salvation, but living out righteousness and living out a sin-free life is not in our ability. But we pursue it with all we have because we want to be different. We want to be changed. We want to be more and more like Jesus. We want to be different from the way we were last week and last month and last year. And if we think we can do it all our own, this is very selfish and self-centered and foolish. It's really the righteousness of the Pharisees. And Jesus says, beware of their righteousness because it is self-centered and it is self-righteousness. It is, look how good I am. Look how great I've done. I've been reading the F-260 plan, didn't miss a day, got all my journals. I'm awesome. I prayed 3 times today already. Look how holy I am. And it's a righteousness that is not righteous at all. It is just self-centered and self-seeking. And Jesus says, if you ever want to be holy, you got to do better than those guys. It's a recognition that we can't attain it, but it's something we pursue with all our being. So what is it? It's a consciousness of our need. Hungering and thirsting after something is a consciousness of our need for God and for change in our life to the point of pain, to the point of it hurting. Several years ago, it's been about 15 now, I had an awesome opportunity to go to Israel. I was in college. That summer they were going to do a archaeological dig, and so I signed up for it, and I went, and it wasn't really an archaeological dig. It was a fat farm. Yes, you can laugh. It's okay. Because what they did is they made us work like animals. Early in the morning, before the sun rose, they had us up and at the site. I worked there for 4 weeks. I was in Israel for a total of 5 weeks. I've walked more than any person should ever walk in their life. It was a fat farm. I came back and my wife didn't recognize me. You know what I'm saying? I lost a lot of weight. And they eat different there. They don't eat right. There's no boudin. There's no bacon. There's no cracklings. It's horrible. And they don't eat a whole lot of meat. Still, to this day, even though they have access to it, their big meal is lunch. And after we worked all morning and we're dirty, we come back in, and that was our big meal. And so it didn't go real well. It was a great time, but after a while, I just wanted meat. Now, I can be a carnivore. I can live off just meat. But it got bad. Real bad. And so to the point of when you, if you go away and or you're going to go visit and they say, hey, what do you want to eat? So like you've been away a while and mom, you call mommy. Mom says, hey, what do you want to eat when you come home? And I said, meat. However you want to prepare it, just give me meat. I mean, they had chicken balls. That was their concept of meat. And so I'm like, I need meat in my life to the point of all I can think about when it came to food was meat. And I had been married a year, and Danielle said, when you get home, what do you want to eat? I said, we're going to Chili's, and I'm ordering ribs, just lots of ribs and meat. I was consumed by it because I could not consume it. It's all I wanted was some meat. And I wonder in our life, if we get consumed by wanting to be right with God, and that's all we want. I don't know, if you ever get thirsty, like you've been working all day, or maybe you ate a lot of salt, and you get thirsty, and it really thirsty. It's not one of those things, man, I could use a water, or I would like a soda, but it goes away. I mean, really thirsty, and nothing will, it will not go away until you drink. My desire for meat did not go away until I ate meat. And when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, nothing will fill us up until we get it. And it's there in our life to the point of pain. There's this beautiful picture of it in Psalms chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. It says this, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? I long for God. I thirst for God. And nothing will quench that until I see God. Until I spend time with God. Until I pursue God. Not a program, not a Bible study, just really Him and Him alone. And when that happens, we get a promise. And that promise is this: you have to search no longer. You have to pursue God no longer. Once you get to Him, He will fill you. He fills us. The promise is you will be filled. You will get what you desire. You hunger and you thirst after righteousness, and when you pursue God, God gives you desire. You never find righteousness apart from God. You never find right living. You never find right spirits. You never find a desire not to sin apart from God. The promise is, not only do you find it, but you get it now. You get it immediately. At salvation, we get all the gospel. We get all the Jesus we will ever need. We get him all. We get the Spirit. We get everything. But as we go through life, hungering and thirsting after God is this continual process in which we continue to go after God. I'm never going to be totally free from sin. But I could not struggle with the sins I struggled with 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 3 years ago. There will be new things that come up in my life, but as I pursue God and after I hunger and thirst after his righteousness, those things come to the top and we can deal with them and those things go away as well. And so it is a continual process. The Spirit will show up, but as I hunger and thirst after God, he reveals those to me and we can deal with them and I can be more like Jesus. He shows us the things that pollute us. He shows us the things that hurt us. The Spirit is ready to show you the things that are polluting your life. All you got to do is ask. All you have to do is pursue God. Until then, until we get to glory, we say like Paul, I put all things behind me, and I pursue the goal. I put all things behind me. I put behind me the sins that I've been able to overcome through the glory of God and through the help of God. I put those things behind me, and I continue to pursue after God, after his righteousness, after his sinlessness, after his desire for me to be not polluted by sin myself. Are you pursuing God? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness to the point of where it's the only thing that consumes your mind is to be more like Jesus? Are you filled? Are you filled? Has the Spirit filled you with this desire to pursue righteousness? And when you pursue it, it's like drinking that water. And your thirst gets quenched. Are you blessed in this sense? Are you someone who seeks, pursues God? Are you hungering and thirsting after his righteousness? This is a glorious promise. He says, those who hunger and thirst are blessed, for they will be filled. I pray that's something that's in your life. I pray that you recognize your sin, that you repent, that you mourn over your sin, that you say, this cannot be part of my life, and that you pursue after God with all you are. And if you've never started that process, today is the day to do it. Don't wait any longer. Give your life to him. And he will give you his righteousness. And you begin this path of becoming more and more like Jesus. And we hunger and we thirst after him and him alone. So as Drake plays, I want you to think about that. Do I hunger and do I thirst after righteousness? And if you do, but especially if you don't, I want you to pray today that the Spirit would well up in you a passion and a desire for God and him alone. Will you stand? Spend time with the Father. Spend time. Ask the Spirit to reveal in your life. And if you've never had that time where you came to Christ, I would love to talk to you about it. Spend time in prayer asking Jesus to help you understand where sin pollutes your life, to give you an insatiable desire for him that is only quenched when you are with him and him alone. Father God, I thank you that you offer us righteousness. And when we come to know you, you make us justified, and that we are no longer guilty of sin, and you accept us as your child. But you want for us to live out that. Father, I pray that we would desire to live that way, that we would hunger and thirst after new actions and a new life. And we would only find that in you. Father, I pray that you'd be honored in our lives, that we wouldn't profess you with a mouth and live in a way that people would say, how do they know God living like that? God, I pray that you would give us a thirst and a hunger for you. And God, I thank you that when we pursue you, we find you. That you fill us, and we continue to pursue you. God, make that our desire today. In Jesus' name, amen.